Well, amen. That was good singing. Choir, you did great as well. Congregational singing was wonderful. It's good to be in God's house this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we are glad that you are here with us. We're thankful that you've chosen our church to come worship at. We understand you could have went anywhere this morning to worship, but we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you so much. Don't forget the men's prayer breakfast next Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning over in the fellowship hall. If you could, men, if you're coming, there is a sign-up sheet over here so the cooks know how much food that they need to fix. That's for men and boys alike, so if you're able and would like to come this Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning, we would enjoy the fellowship with you. And you can invite visitors as well. That'd be fine. Just let Brother Hector or Brother Felipe or Brother Bill know that, hey, I'm going to be bringing somebody else, even if you find out this week. Just send them a text. Let them know Wednesday night. Say, hey, I've got to add one more. That'd be fine, even if it's Friday night. Just let them know. All they need is about an hour in advance to get another egg. That's it. Get another egg, another potato, throw it in there, more hash browns, more potatoes, more eggs. That's all they need to know. But sign up over there so they can get you that know you're going to be here, that they will have enough already prepared for this Saturday, 8 o'clock. Well, it looked like they had a good turnout for the Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally. Appreciate those that went to that. Looked like they had a good time. That's starting now through the year. It's every month. Generally, they go, generally speaking, every month, and that's the third Friday of the month. And it's, what is that, Brother Scott? 12 and up?
Yeah, we take 12 and up. Yeah.
12 and up, and if you got a kid that's 10 and would like to go, you're welcome to go with the kid. Just go with them, and they don't mind that, but you can't send your 7, 8, 9, 4-year-old with them and say, wow, I get to go out. They're not babysitters, but you're welcome to take your younger kid with them. That'd be fine if you'll help go with them. Galatians chapter number 5 this morning. Galatians chapter number 5 this morning. It's good to see all the folks that turned out to prayer meeting this morning. Remember, 9:30, 9:40. Somewhere around in there, whatever fits your schedule. The ladies meet in this room over here as you come in to the right, and the men meet over in the Sunday school room right past the Spanish Sunday school and right before the church office. Just meet and pray. Come in and out at your leisure. There's no set time, there's no set format. It's just come in and out at your leisure and pray, 8, 10, 12 minutes so you can get your cares cast upon the Lord so he can care for you. And then Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we meet right over here. The whole church just mingled in and there. And we pray for about 10 or 12 minutes on Sunday evenings as well. Galatians 5, verse 22. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is be the 8th sermon on Galatians 5, 22 and 23. 8 sermons in a row. And I know if you're visiting with us this morning thinking, wow, that preacher's got it made. All he's got to do is stay in one verse for 8 weeks and just go play golf after that. No, I don't go play golf, but I do go bow hunting. No golfing. That'd be a good practice, though. Go to the driving range with your shotgun and shoot them balls as they shoot across there. Galatians 5:22. Let me get into the Word of God before we have to talk about the Seminoles yesterday. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And today we're going to be talking about meekness. Temperance, against such there is no law. If you would, over in, hold your place there, because we're going to come right back here. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just to get a little basis of this, you know, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. First Corinthians chapter 6. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago when they were leaving out, said, Pastor, do you believe that you can have just one of the fruit of the Spirit, or you must have all of them? I do believe, personally, that when you get saved, you get them all. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my fruit. It's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And so I want to start by establishing something here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I do believe this also, that we are carnal-minded and carnally and fleshly, that sometimes we grieve the Spirit, and therefore the manifestation of some of these don't come out. But I believe they're all inside there because they're the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would, verse 19, the Bible says there, What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now that's the same as the Spirit. The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is what? In you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It means after we get saved, we're doubly God's. First, by creation. He created all things. We didn't just come out of thin air. There wasn't two amoebas billions of years ago that decided to run into each other out there in nowhere land and cause a big old explosion. And billions of years we turned into humans. It wasn't like that. On the first day, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm a very believer in Genesis chapter number 1. Six literal days of creation. On the sixth day, created man, put man to sleep, created woman out of the rib of man. And on the seventh day, God rested. In Genesis, the Bible says in verse 31 of chapter number 1, all that God created was good. We didn't come out of nothing. We came from God in His image, in His likeness. And we at salvation are bought with a price. So by creation, God owns us. Everything was created for God's pleasure, says the Word of God. Then we're saved. We're bought with a price, and we are not our own. The Holy Spirit of God enters in the believer and lives inside of them. Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians. Sometimes it's a little difficult to remember where those two, if Galatians come first or Ephesians comes first, so it's right after Galatians where we're at. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30, the Bible says, And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed unto the day of redemption. So He moves in, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God moves in with all of the fruit of the Spirit. He moves in, He lives with us, and we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Look back over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says there, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So the work of the Spirit of God upon salvation, He moves into the believer. We heard the gospel of truth. We heard what is truth. Sanctified unto Thy word. Thy word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We heard that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We heard that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. through Jesus Christ our Lord. We heard faith come by hearing and hearing by the word, and then we trusted in what we heard. We heard the Bible, the word of God, and we accepted Jesus Christ our personal Lord and Savior. And upon accepting that, the Holy Spirit of God moved in and sealed us, which is our earnest, until the day of redemption. That's why I don't believe you can lose your salvation. It's an earnest. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit of God uses words like this. Sealed. Earnest. If you go buy a house, you go buy a car, you go buy a piece of property, you say, I like it, but I've got to work out the details. The owner says, okay, I'll give you 14 days, I'll give you 7 days, I'll give you 15 days, until the day of what? Redemption. The day of purchase. I'll give you these many days, but you have to give me something called earnest. Give me $500, give me $1,000, depending on what it is. Maybe it's a large purpose, give me $5,000. But when that day passes, it belongs to me. If you don't fulfill your part of the bargain, until the day of what? Redemption. You buy the property. And Jesus Christ saved us, and God says, here's the earnest. My spirit lives inside of you until the day of redemption, till I call you home. And if I never call you home, guess what? You get to keep part of God. But He's calling us home because His promises are yea and amen. Amen. So, this is the work of the Spirit. So I do believe that we as Christians, we that are born again with the Spirit of God living inside of us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, meekness, and temperance, and so forth. I do believe that we can quench the Spirit of God, and we do not allow the Spirit of God to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, and there are certain areas that in our life that we could be lacking. They're there. They're just not manifested outward so others can see them. Because the fruit of the Spirit lives within us, which is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. And so today, we're going to talk about meekness. Now, meekness is having a gentle patience, waiting. It's the strength to humbly submit yourself to God's will. The strength to humbly submit yourself to the will of God. And we know that we're not always capable of doing so, because if you go back to Galatians chapter 5, and look up at verse number 16, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So we understand there's a war that goes on. The Spirit lusts against the flesh, and a meekness, a strength to humbly submit yourself to the will of God, because the flesh says, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And the Spirit says, submit, walk in meekness, humbly accept the will of God. And it takes strength, dear friend, to overcome the flesh. If not, you're dead sitting here. You know well as I'm sitting here that the flesh can rule and reign and tackle you and drag you into places that you would not normally and generally end up going. Give me an example, Pastor. How about the prodigal son? When the flesh riled up into the prodigal son, and he looked at his father and said, "You give me my inheritance now." He never thought he would end up down in that offhand. The flesh said, "I want the good stuff." You know as well as I'm sitting here, the flesh says, "Give me that bottle of alcohol," but never shows you the liver that's ate up with cirrhosis. The flesh says, give me that good time of 15 minutes outside of the marriage relationship, but never shows you the STD. The flesh says, give me the high of that marijuana, or that crack, or that opiate, or that pharmaceutical that is given to you by the pharmacists, that's legal, Oxy and Vicodin and all that. He says, give me that, but it never shows you the destruction. The flesh says the flesh is strong different. It takes strength to stand up against the flesh. And I can't do it on my own, and you can't do it on yours. God says your strength is made strong whenever you are weak. By God's grace is our sufficiency and our sustainability. And the flesh and the spirit war against each other. When a man and a woman say, I'll go to the altar and be married, and I will be faithful as the vow says one to another. Whenever the flesh desires to go astray from that their vow, different, it takes strength. A humble, a meekness. See, meekness is strength. We look at meekness, they're all meek and mild, but it takes strength to walk in meekness. And the flesh war, they war. And let me tell you something. We're going to have to learn in meekness. Some of us have been educated beyond our intelligence by this here society we live in. James chapter 1. Go on, James chapter 1. Get some water. Wash that thought away. Let it be gone, Lord. We can't get bogged down in that today. James chapter number 1. Verse number 21. Brother Mike, can you help them in that door, please, sir? Thank you. James chapter number 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says there in James 1 and verse 20, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Dear friend, you can receive in the word of God with meekness and humility and receiving it. Listen, absent from pride. There are so many times, dear friend, when I'm reading the Word of God and my flesh is riled up and my flesh is ruling and my flesh is reigning, and the spirit has been starved from lack of attention from God and lack of attention from the Word of God. Dear friend, my old pride rises up and says, listen, I know the Bible says that, but I'm not listening today. We've got to receive, we've got to learn in meekness, and it takes a strength to say, flesh, you need it because God knows best. He wrote it for my learning. And so with learning and meekness, dear friend, opposite from a rebellion and opposite from saying, I'm not going to obey that part of the Bible because I don't think it's relevant for today. That's not meekness. Not at all. And it's happening all around us. It happens in my life. Listen, I'm not standing up here innocent. I'm not standing up here saying that as the man of God, as the pastor of Lockhaven Baptist Church, that there's times in my life that whenever I look at the Word of God and God says, this is what we're going to preach through, like the book of Mark. You know, we've preached through 17 different books of the Bible in the last 8 years since we've been here. This marks the 8th year of this month that I've been pastor, and we've preached verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through 17 different books of the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. You preach through 17 books of the Bible, verse by verse, you run across some things in the Bible that your flesh says, hey, you can just bypass that. Though flesh is, listen, it'd be easy to go into a commentary and find a commentary that just explains away what God is really saying. Listen, when the Bible says your heart, if your heart condemn you, what's greater than your heart? And there's 17 books of the Bible, countless of other things that we preach through. I mean, just 8 weeks we preached in 2 verses. I'm going to tell you, these verses that I've read, and these places and long suffering, hey, the gentleness, the Holy Spirit of God was all on me. And it had been easy to say to God, listen, we'll leave that for another day when I'm perfectly right with long suffering and gentleness. And the Holy Spirit of God says, no, you will humbly and meekly and temperance, and you will preach the word and just submit yourself to it. I'll be honest, there's times, dear friend, when I'm studying the Word of God, I'm reading the Word of God, I'm saying, Lord, do you understand that as you go through it, you learn through the Word of God, you've got to receive the Word. One must take it in. How many times do you just find yourself just skimming through it just to get done? Oh, I read my verse, my chapter for today. I'm good. Oh, man, yes. Chalk that off too. I'm a Christian now for sure. 2 hours later, you can't even remember what book or what chapter you were even reading in. 2 hours later, and you think, man, was I in the Old Testament or the New Testament? What verse was that? You know, it because you didn't take it in. You know, there's an old saying that I learned years ago. When I was in the army, they came up to the battery. I was in the battery. I was artillery battery. It's getting bad when you forget what you was in. The battery. The battery's like a platoon. They came up there and they said, "We have these classes, these college classes we're going to offer, and it was a computer science or something like computer literacy. I have no idea what it is, and still today I don't know what computers do other than chase you around the world looking for information that doesn't help you with anything. The only good thing I found out of computers right now is you can find scores instantly." I was in the deer stand yesterday, and I looked at the ESPN app, and I looked there quickly. I saw that Florida State was losing bad. And all I could think was my son Andrew tearing up my living room. That's how I shut it off real quick. I said, Lord, let the house be protected. And I prayed for the living room, my furniture, and my couch. I said, Lord, let it. And thank God he was at work. He didn't tear up Logan stuff over there. But I took this class, this computer class, because they didn't tell me that I had to have to come up there after work to take the class after I signed up for it. I thought it was going to be getting out of the motor pool, getting out of the field, and you know, it would be during the work day. I thought I'd go up there and give me 2 hours of class in the air conditioning, not in the motor pool, turning wrenches and stuff like that with those howitzers. They gave me the schedule, and it was like 7:30 at night. I said, you ain't learned nothing. I thought in basic training I would learn not to volunteer for something, but I didn't learn. So I spent my own time up there getting 3 college credits on computers that I'll never use, but I remember this phrase, garbage in, garbage out. And it's an acronym. They don't say garbage in, garbage out. They say G-I-G-O. What is it called? GIGO? Gigo, I don't know. But I know this. You put garbage in a computer, out comes garbage. I know this. Our mind is stronger and powerful, more powerful than any computer could ever come up with. We put so much garbage in. So much in. It's no wonder that when we're skimming over it, speed reading, that we're not learning from God. There's got to be a meekness in learning. There's got to be a meekness. Listen, calls to learn in meekness, it calls for a constant and continual and systematic Bible study. I don't mean wake up one morning and flip over here in Isaiah and the next morning flip over here to Luke. I'm talking about a systematic, but the Bible says study to show itself approved. a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Hey, listen, to meekly learn, you've got to put effort in to study. You've got to receive it. It calls for hearing of Bible constantly. I mean, we've got to have more going in, more by faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, it calls for listening with the heart. You know what the Bible says many, many times over? He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. No wonder we don't have the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. We're not hearing what the Spirit has saying. How does the Spirit speak? He speaks expressly through the Word of God. It calls from shutting out less important messages. The Bible says this, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Sometimes we come to the house of God, we come to our time of daily devotion, we come to time of our prayer time, we come time to read the Word of God, and we have so much weighted upon us. So much of the care of the world, so much of a heartache, so much burden, so much memory, so much of the past that's upon us that we don't even have time to wade through a verse. And no wonder we're just drinking milk and not eating the meat of the Word of God, because we have the cares of the world that wait upon us and overrun us and attack us when it's time to do something spiritual. Remember, the spirit and the flesh war against each other. When we're going to do something spiritual, dear friend, you cannot expect that your flesh, which you have fed and fed and fed all week long, just to say, oh, lay down and just enjoy God's Word. The flesh isn't going to let you bathe in God's Word. The flesh has to die. Meekness and learning. We got to get to the point where, like the little children. Remember the verse, right? Like a couple of weeks ago, last week I think it was, I let the little boys come here. He came this morning and said, Pastor, can I come and sit there this morning? I thought I'd let him again, but he ran all over the church this morning before. I mean, they were running like, whoo, shoo, up around there. It was like, whoa. I said, no, you can't. Matter of fact, if you keep running, we're going to take you home and leave you at home. So that's why Brendan's not sitting up here today, because he wanted to run around church like a wild man. We've got to get to the point where we learn like he's learned. You see him sitting still and quiet like a little child. If I had to talk to some of the adults about some ungodly thing they're doing, they'd be mad and run out that door. You don't believe it. You know as well as I'm talking about it. If we have to approach somebody in meekness about and humbleness about something ungodly in their life, ooh, they get mad. Little Brendan, he just sit. Okay, maybe next week I'll get to sit up there again. Got to learn like a little child. Total concentration upon the Word. That's why it's over and over throughout the Word of God talks about meditating. Day and night. Meekness and learning. Learn. Let God teach me. How do you know you're not meek and learned when you think you've arrived and nobody can teach you? When you think you're at a point where that doesn't apply to me because I've got it all together. Be honest with you, ain't none of us got it all together. And if there's any English teachers in here, I'm sorry. Ain't none of us got it. I think I used 3 double negatives. We're all pulled off a torn piece of cloth that when we sewed up and put back together, we got to put a patch here and a patch there. Such were some of you, but now you're washed in the blood. Meekness, listen, if you get to a point where you can't be taught, you can't listen to the Word of God, dear friend, you are in trouble. You are in deep, deep trouble. You have quenched the Holy Spirit of God. Look over in Numbers. Let's move on quickly. Meekness and learning. You're going to have a meekness about you when you're leading people. I don't know why it is that we have been confused about leadership and influence. Look what it says in Numbers chapter 12. This is an amazing verse here. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 3. Numbers is way back in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. There in the first 5 books of the Bible, you'll find it. Numbers chapter number 12 and verse number 3. Numbers chapter number 12. This is talking about Moses in verse number 3. Numbers 12, 3, the Bible says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." That's what it says about Moses. And if you think it's weak, it means just you're just a doormat. You need to go back and study whenever Moses went in there to Pharaoh's house. He stood up in strength in the name of God. He said, how are they going to know? He said, this is what God said. Just tell them I am have sent you. And he stood there and he demanded that the Pharaoh, listen, Pharaoh could have had his head whacked off. You know that they were, he had done, ran away at the age of 40. He ran away because he killed some guard and he was on the run for 40. He lived out in the desert raising up sheep for 40 years, caring for his father-in-law's animals, and the sheep. And now at 80 years old, God says, go back to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. It took strength, dear friend. But God says there was none above all, there wasn't a man on the earth as meek as Moses. But even Moses in his leadership came to a point where let me put it like this. God had told Moses to do a job, and Moses was doing a tremendous job. But the people, with all the murmuring and complaining, you have to study it. God said, smite the rock, bring forth water. Another time they needed a rock and Moses was just fed up with it. Doing what God said in anger. I believe he was mad at God because of the people and he smote the rock. He allowed the people to cause dissension between him and God. You know the Bible says he didn't even get to see the promises. I mean, didn't get to go in. He got to see. Didn't get to go in. Even in his, when it says nobody above Moses, yet Moses had his flaws. Matter of fact, in the very beginning, when God was trying to get him to go, he said, well, I don't even know what to say. I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. I stutter. I can't get it across there. And it's an amazing thing. Every time it was speaking going on, Aaron didn't say nothing. It's all Moses. Listen, dear friend. Moses was the meekest man above all. He faced Pharaoh. He delivered his people. But nowadays we're confused about, you know, a leader has to be dynamic. A leader has to be spectacular. A leader has to be dictatorial. And that wasn't in Moses' way. That wasn't in God's way. He was meek. What we have to be willing to do, we have to be willing to help people to succeed as leaders. And listen, God desires that we press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And we as people, we need to be meek and understand that it is our job to disciple, to help, to bring along. Even if they outrun us in their growth for Christ. Sometimes I think that's what it is. We're afraid that they might show us up. Listen, they're God's children. I think somewhere over in the book of Psalms it says the people of your flock, your pastors. That was God, these are the people of God's pasture. We got to be willing to lead in meekness. We got to get to the point where we say, Lord, I'm going to submit and I'm going to work and I'm going to labor so that they might grow. You say, well, I'm not the pastor. I'm not a leader. Oh, dear friend, people are watching you. You are leading, whether you like it or not. You can be like a blind leading the blind. Or you can be like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Hey, pride has been keeping people from leading far too long. Do you understand something? You and I are not going to remain on this scene forever. You know why our churches are hurting left in, left out, right out? Because we're leaving the little ones behind, and we're not pressing on, and we're not teaching them. We're like Esau. We show up with 400 men, and we want to confront, what was his brother's name? Esau. Jacob. We want to confront Jacob, or Israel. There, after he had forded the river, after Jacob had sent all those prizes, Jacob was feared for his life. He sent animals. He gave everything away. All his wealth. He said, I'm going over here. Then they came together. Esau said, let's go. Get yourself together. And Jacob said this, you've got men of war. You've got men of trained men. If I drive my people, I've got women and children. If I drive them like you, I'm going to kill them. Sometimes we're too eager to get so far ahead, we leave the kids behind. And guess what? When they get separated, when they get behind, when they get left out there behind, who's the wolf's get? You think the wolf comes up there in the front of the pack where the trained men are? Gets back there in the back. One by one, snatches them away. One by one, sneaks them out, cuts them off. We got to understand something, dear friend. We got to be meek in our leadership. That means there's times that we just got to be in our strength. Just stand. Just stand. I'm almost done. Bear with me. Abraham. This is an amazing story. Abraham and Lot. They left Ur, took Lot with him. Lot became wealthy. Came to a point where they argued, they fussed, they fought. Abraham said, listen, we can't do this. We're amongst the heathen. They're seeing this here striving and transgression together and us fighting together. You choose the right, I'll choose the left. I'll take the left over. Whatever you want. He chose the well water plains. Shamar, Lot did. He went down there, put his tent outside toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham took the leftovers. And before we know it, the five kings of the north came down, took everybody captive, including Lot and all of his had, everything with it. Abraham took 318 trained men with him, recovered them, brought them back. Guess where Lot stayed? Right back there. And whenever God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, we find him sitting at the gate. Not everybody he rescued is going to stay with you. But when time came, Abraham still got along with God. God, verse 50, verse 45. If there's 30, if there's 35, God, if there's 20. Why? He knew Lot was still down there. He got all the way down with 10. Got all the way down to 10. It didn't work out too well when he come out, did he? The angels dragged him out with his daughters. His wife turned to salt. Two kids was born. And they've been fighting Israel ever since. But Abraham, in his meetings, you know what he could have said? I left with 318 of my men, rescued his knucklehead self, and he's there. Destroy him, God. Took meekness. He submitted to God's will. Even down to 10, he said, okay, God, if there's 10, right? Well, Abraham was excited. In his prayer journal, he probably had everybody that was there. In his prayer journal. Oh, yeah, they're going to be okay. Wasn't okay, were they? But Abraham, in his meekness, in strength, submitted to the will of God. Think about Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, John the Baptist was with some of his disciples down over the hill, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Lamb. So you're meek in learning. You're meek as a leader. We have a meek Lamb that was the greatest example of all. You know what he said there in the garden while they were praying? The three were praying, sleeping, and Jesus went about a stone cast, and he said to the Father, he said, if it be your will, remove this cup. Remove this cup. Nevertheless, let your will be done. Even Jesus was going through something that he knew was going to be difficult. But in the strength of humility and meekness, he accepted the will of God. Amen. That's our example. You know, the Bible says that it's the predestined will of God that all Christians be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So if our Savior was meek as such as that, don't you think, with the Spirit of God living in us, that we can find it within ourselves to humbly, with strength, submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, that meekness may manifest itself out of us? I'm meek. Here's some questions, and I'm done. Do you find yourself demanding your way? This question is not trick. No trick question here. I just want to find out where you are. Do you find yourself demanding your way? Here's another question. Do you find it difficult and trouble getting along with other believers? Do you get angry when things don't go your way? Just a few questions to ask ourselves about the Holy Spirit of God and meekness. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The pianist is on the way. Brother Jim will be right here to lead us in a song of invitation. I talked a lot in the beginning about the work of the Spirit of God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Today, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior. Unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. But Jesus died on the cross of Calvary that you might have eternal life. Will you accept that gift today? I'm going to be right down here up front this morning with the Word of God. We'll take the Bible and show you how you can know that you have eternal life. Perhaps you're not walking in meekness. Maybe you just need to spend some time here at the altar and pray, Lord, give me the strength to humbly submit to your will.